Good evening, everyone. God is good. And all the time, God sure is a mighty good God. I am honored, first and foremost, to even be considered to walk in the shoes that I've left. You will have a little less pounds, but a little more inches. All right. So it tapers off. All right. And what we do have in common is the word of God. All right. And I bring you nothing but that. So I'm pretty sure you'll be pleased. All right. I again just want to thank Brother Mitchell for considering me for preaching the word here tonight. I am humbled by the invitation, and I trust and hope that I will do justice to God's word. Amen. And that we will be better prepared for eternity. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles with me, and as we get there, I bring you love from the South Central Church of Christ. Thank you, Brother Mike. And we crave your prayers as we continue to do our work over there. As you know, I like to say, they say that maypen and a playpen. All right, it gets a little grimy over there every now and then, you know, but God is good. God is good. All right. Matthew chapter 15, and we want to take it from verse number 1.
Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men."
All right, my brother, you can stop right there. Hearing a portion of God's word, shall we all say,
Amen.
I want to speak to you on a simple topic. Don't be a part of the uprooting. Don't be a part of the uprooting. Don't be a part of the uprooting. Yeah. I want for us to understand that the world is at ease with the idea that I can attend any church I like, and I can just worship any old way I want. And that is all right, because we're all worshiping the same God. The world think it is okay to just believe that there's no such thing as the church. The world believes
that all of them are one and the same. But I want for us to understand that it's not what we feel. It's not what we think. It is not what we want. But it is what God commands. I want for us to understand that when you ask persons why they go where they go, sometimes you hear, well, you know, the church is very close to my yard. You know, so I can just walk over there and you know, we're good. Or maybe they say, well, you know, I have been going there since I was a child. My mother go there. Fear mother go there. And fear mother go there. So it's our family church. There are some who say, well, you know, the people are nice. Others will say, well, they helped me through school. No, as good as all those reasons sound, none of them give the answer that is needed. Because the question that must be asked is the church you attend found in the Bible? See, I want for us to understand that we are not here trying to throw stones at anyone. But we are speaking the truth in love because we care for souls. The business of salvation is too important. It is too significant. It costs too much for us to allow people to just go on about their business. And sometimes the reason is because they know no better. It is on us to help persons to open their eyes and understand the will of God. I want for us to understand, brethren and friends, that we must be able to identify with the Word of God. If you call yourself church, then your commander and chief must be Christ. And if your commander and chief is Christ, then it means that you should be a part of the church of Christ. You see, when we look in our text, there are some things that I want for us to bring out and understand. And if there is anyone here tonight that is offended by what I have to say, I said it, I'm saying it with a lot of love. And don't get mad at me. Take it up with the boss. One of the first things I want for us to highlight from our text, and I want to encourage my friends, I want you to release the traditions of men and embrace the Word of God. You see, Jesus was approached by some religious folks. These were the teachers in religion of the day. And they approached Jesus and they said to him, why is it that your disciples eat and don't wash them hands? Well, Jesus says, So they were offended because the disciples were offending are breaking the traditions of their fathers. So God said, all right, hold on. Because as far as I understand, you are breaking the traditions of my father. Because my father says you should honor your mother and your father. That means you must take care of your parents. But they come up with a system, Brother Mike, that you know, the money we may have of a true of a offering, some in the need figure none because I'm giving it to God. And Jesus says, well, the Bible says, my father says, if you fail to honor your parents, you must be stoned to death. So how is it you make up something to get out of this, but you have a problem with my disciples eating with unwashed hands? See, Jesus wanted them to understand that you can't just go about making stuff up as you go along. You must take what God says and do it as he says. You can't pick, choose, and refuse what you want. You have to take the whole counsel of God if you are to please God. So Jesus says to them, you know what? Y'all need to release the traditions of men and embrace the commands of God. You see, brethren and friends, when we do what we feel, the word of God has to take a back seat. When we take the word of God and we spin it and twist it our way, it is no longer the word of God. So Jesus says, I have a problem with this. You see, man has a tendency to think that they know more than God. Man has the tendency to think that they need to help God. But the Bible reminds us that a man might think he knows the right way, but that way leads to destruction. If you and I want to be in the right with God, it is important that we do what he says, how he says, when he says. So Jesus says, you know what? This way it seems right to you, you know. But I want you to know that the end is destruction. When we think we know better than God, it is futile and foolish. But I want you to understand that the God we serve understands, and he knows a summon time. That there's going to come a time when the creation that I create is going to feel like they are bigger, are better than the Creator. So he speaks through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55 and reading from verse number 6. I want for us to understand that in Isaiah chapter 5, it is one of those prophetic chapters about the church and the Christ. You see, God understood that even before we were experiencing it, that man would think them smarter than God. But here, the prophet Isaiah from verse number 6 of Isaiah 55. It says, seek ye the Lord
while he may be found.
While he may be found.
Call ye upon him.
Call on him.
While he is near.
While he is near.
Let the wicked forsake his way.
Let the wicked forsake his way.
And the unrighteous man his thoughts.
And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Hold on. You see, anytime we hear the word wicked, Brother Mike, all we can think about are the people that we claim say a sprinkle powder. When we hear the word wicked, all we can think about is the rapist. When we hear the word wicked, all we think about is the gunman. But I want you to understand that any man who thinks he knows more than God, God said, let the wicked forsake his ways. Read on.
And the unrighteous man his thoughts.
And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Why?
And let him return unto the Lord.
So stop thinking you're smarter than me.
That's right.
And come to me.
Amen.
Go ahead.
And he will have mercy upon him.
You see, we serve a merciful God.
Amen.
You see, once we recognize we are in the wrong, and we turn back to God, he has mercy and pardon.
Amen.
Read on, brother.
For he will abundantly pardon.
Mm-hmm.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Hold on.
Right.
You're not smarter than me.
Amen.
That's what God is saying.
Yeah, no.
God is saying, I know why I left instructions for man to follow.
Yeah.
Because it is not in man to direct his own steps.
Yeah.
So what I say needs to be followed to the T. Read on, brother.
Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
Hold on. You ever take a look in some churches today and wonder what I'm going? I don't even know what I talk about. Some things that happen in church. Yeah, church, me say. You wonder what really are going over there. So. I know if you are a person who are abreast with social media, I saw one lady. When I laugh, I don't even know what me I go say. All right. Make us see if I don't want me to talk about tonight, talk about. And she had on a dress that was long all the way down to her ankle. Uh-huh. And everybody was at the altar, Brother Mitchell. Uh-huh. And I'm here, aya! Aya! Karate! Woof! Straight upon her head back. But a church she did. But God says, your ways are not my ways. In other words, the antics where you are galang on with, that no belong in my church. So he says, if you think you're smarter, you're wrong. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And your ways are not for me. Read on.
For as the rain cometh down,
mm-hmm.
and the snow from heaven,
yes.
and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater.
I so want you, hold it right there, you can't stop. So God says, watch out, man, let me show you how much in control I am. Nature, have to listen to me. Because I see when the snow go down, it can't say me a turn back. When the water go down, it can't say me a turn back. It have to go and perform its duty. So when God instructs us through his word, our job is to follow and perform that which he intends. So it's full time we release the traditions of men. And start to embrace the word of God. Amen. See, brethren and friends, because God knows who he has made. Uh-huh. He has made us a people who have a spiritual appetite.
That's right.
And we are always seeking a form of fulfillment.
That's right.
In
That's
one
right.
way, shape, or form.
That's right.
God has made us in a way that we have a desire to worship.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and sometimes we know business what we worshiping.
That's right. That's
we
right.
just want to worship.
Right.
So some people worship the car. Yeah. Some people worship the work.
Uh-huh.
Some people worship the clothes.
Uh-huh.
But I want us to understand that God wants us to know the importance of worship.
Amen.
You see, God wants us to worship, you know.
Yeah.
And he wants us to enjoy life.
That's right.
Because that's how he made us.
Amen.
You know, there are a lot of persons out there who refuse to become Christians because they think that Christian life is boring.
Yeah.
Once you become a Christian, there are too much restrictions.
Uh-huh.
There's too much things that do not do this, do that, do. Make I tell you something. God wants the whole away to enjoy life.
Amen.
I want for you to find for me Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and read from verse number 9. If you think that God does not want you to enjoy your life, then you're making a big mistake. The God that made us understood that we are going to be people who are going to be seeking after things. We're going to seek something to worship. We're going to seek to make ourselves better. And we take it so far, so till we're greedy. I want for you to look at something here. Do you understand That before God made us, he made the world. In other words, God provided for us before he placed us here. Now, the people them, where they are Africa, and give them only for gold. The people them in the Middle East and give them only for isle. Jamaica get a whole heap of backside. But everybody get greedy. So me have hile, but me want gold. So me come take fear. Me have gold, but me want hile. So me come take fear. And everybody just want to kill off the one another. When God give you everything we in need of. Why? Because he knows that we need to enjoy life. But read what he says in Ecclesiastes 3 from verse number 9.
What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth?
Mm-hmm.
I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it.
Mm-hmm.
He hath made everything beautiful in his time.
All right, hold on. So in other words, God says, you know what? Man, labor, and that labor is for a purpose. That's simply what he's saying. I give them the strength to work hard. And when they earn, they need to enjoy it. That's what God is saying. Read on.
Also, he mm-hmm. had set the world in their heart.
Yes.
So that no man can find out the work that God maketh mm-hmm. from the beginning to the end.
Right.
I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life.
Yes, sir.
And also that every man should eat and drink
mm-hmm.
and enjoy the good of all his labor.
Yes, sir.
It is a gift of God.
Are you hear that? Well on, well on. Yep, you don't cast that mess up. I wonder if you understand the God who we serve.
Amen.
So I'm trying to say to us that God gives us everything we need
Amen.
In order to have a holistic life here on earth. But he also gives us all we need to make it where he is.
Amen.
So we don't serve an unjust God.
Amen.
We don't serve a God who just wants us to just walk around like this.
Well, come on. Well, come on, preacher.
I wonder if you understand what I'm saying. God says, in everything, there must be a balance. But I want you to understand, in anything you do, I come first. Because when you serve me first, everything else takes care of itself. And that's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all the things that you need will be supplied.
Amen.
So God said, no worry yourself. So what? Let me show you what God is doing here. God is saying, if I can provide for your physical needs, I need you to trust me to provide your spiritual needs. You don't need to bow down to a cow, a statue, because them, and you make them as a matter of fact. I want you to recognize that there's one who is worthy of worship, and that is me,
Amen.
God Almighty.
Amen.
You see, God knows we need the church.
Right.
Because man needs holistic living.
Yes.
Man needs direction.
Amen.
We can't do it with self.
Amen.
Have you ever thought about it? When God left Adam and Eve alone, they couldn't manage. They couldn't manage. So God looked at him and said, every third ton, a problem. Man can't stay alone, you know. Say, no, what am I going to do? I'm going to send my son. When Jesus come and do him, I do. And I get ready for going. He said, man can't stand alone. So you see, when we go back, I need to send the Holy Spirit. I want for us to understand that all that we need, God has provided.
Amen, amen.
And he says, you know, all I want you to do is just follow what I say.
Amen.
I want us to go back to the book of Isaiah chapter 55. Go back to Isaiah 55 and from verse number 3 through to verse number 5. Isaiah 55 from verse 3 through to verse number 5.
Incline your ear.
Incline your ears.
And come unto me.
And come to me.
Hear and your soul shall live.
Hear and your soul shall live.
And I will make an everlasting covenant with you.
I will give you eternal blessings.
The sure mercies of David.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I have given him for a witness to
all
the
right.
people.
Mm-hmm.
A leader and a commander
yes.
to the people.
Yes.
Behold, thou shalt call a nation, and thou knowest it not. And nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way.
All right. The money can't stop this. God says, I recognize that the people are going to need a leader.
Amen.
And not just any leader.
Yeah.
The Holy One of Israel. In other words, this is a forecast that when the church is to come, that Jesus was going to be the one to take the lead. He says, because man is not capable of leading themselves,
yeah.
I am going to give them a commander and chief. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make him a witness. You know, well, we want to go to heaven. I've never asked one person if they want to go to heaven, and they tell me no. No, here's the thing about that. If you want to go to heaven, isn't it a good idea to listen to somebody who has been there? I don't know about you, Brother Mikey, but if me I go somewhere, I'm in on a service, okay, I'll Google everything. I go and ask somebody who have been there before for directions. So God is the witness. And that's why in John 3:16 the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That means he gave us Jesus. He said that whosoever believes in him, they won't perish, but they will have everlasting life.
Amen.
Jesus also says in John 18 and verse number 37, as he stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, are you a king? And Jesus says, yes. You have said the right thing because I am a king.
Amen.
And I am the witness who has come to save the souls of man.
Amen.
All right. So he make his claim. In other words, he just says, I am the man. In Revelation 1 and verse number 5, the Bible talks about Jesus Christ as the true witness who has washed us from our sins with his blood.
Yeah.
In other words, I want for us to understand that the church isn't any old church.
Amen.
The church is a purchased position with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Then if the man buy it, then I will for one.
Then
if it belongs to him, who gets to make the rules?
Amen.
Then why do we feel like we need to make our own? It can't work. Jesus Christ is our leader.
Amen.
In John 14, he says to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. I want for you to understand that. Think about how important the disciples must have felt after they are spending so much time with Jesus. See, nobody knew them before. But now all of a sudden, everybody make a whole heap of fuss about them. And then all of a sudden, Jesus start talking about, me I go dead. Just imagine how a man them start feel, Brother Mike. We don't know about you, you know, but nobody no really know me. But if LeBron James should come to Jamaica and say, boy, he want somebody to carry him back. Say, me, sir, me, sir. I'm pretty sure if I start par with LeBron James, everybody are going to know me. Hold on, I don't know any of LeBron James. All right, just checking, just checking. But when him say, boy, I no longer need your service, me go feel that way. But Jesus says to disciples, let not your heart
be troubled.
Be troubled. In other words, it has to happen. This has to happen. But he says, you know what? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And me not telling a lie. That's what he says. Me not telling a lie. If I lie, I wouldn't bother telling none at all. But he says, you know what? I am going there so you can be there also. But then he says, you know what? When he says, I go to prepare a place, I want us to get out of our minds the idea, because he was a carpenter, he's going back to heaven to build some houses. I want you to understand that heaven was already prepared before Jesus Christ came to earth. So when Jesus says, I go to prepare a place, the mansion there, they are ready. And the room them there, they are ready. But what he meant is that I must go to the cross. Because unless my blood is shed, then he couldn't make the statement, I am the way. Amen. I am the truth. Amen. And I am the life. Amen. In other words, everything we need is wrapped up in Jesus. Amen. Because without him, we don't know where we're going. Without him, we don't know what is truth. And without him, we don't have any life. So he says, you know what? I am the way. Follow me, and me I lead you. But then now, then kill him. And I believe that Satan had a party.
That's right.
For 3 days, man, be a celebration. Uh-huh. Win, me win. Yeah, man, them are feeling now.
Uh-huh.
But up from the grave,
amen,
he arose,
amen,
with a mighty triumph over his foe. I want us to understand that's why Jesus could come back in Matthew 28 and verse number 18, and he says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And he says, go and make disciples of every nation, preaching and teaching the gospel. And he says, you know what? Make them choose any old way they want to go. Make them decide how they want to worship. Make them decide which church they want to build. He says, teach them all the things that I have commanded you. In other words, when it comes to the church, you and I don't get a say in what happens. You and I have to do what the man upstairs says. Which one now we can walk up in a Sajikur building? Just one in a little man. I want to tell the CEO of your own things. Then why we want to take the Lord's church and do any old thing we feel like? It can't work. Because Jesus says, it is what I command that must be done. He says, you know what? Let go the traditions of men and embrace the word of God. Watch this, man. I don't know, fling no stone off of me when they say this. The devil is in church business.
That's right.
serious thing me I talk about, you know. The devil knows that the mission of Christ is to save lost souls, call them out of sin, and make them his church. So the devil say, you know what? If you can't beat them, join them. So I am going to convince some people so they can do anything they want and call it church, and they're all right. And they have bought it. The world, like, listen now, people in the world is not the biggest challenge to the work of God. The biggest challenge is people who does feel as if any old church will do. Now it sounds mean. It sounds unfair. It sounds dogmatic. That's a fancy word with them used to say, boy, I know I'm forced religion, pardon me. But I want for us to understand that the devil says, you know, if I can just create something that looks like. If I can just get some people to look like the people of God, then we don't need to worry about them. Because them feel say, me all right. So we have, get this now, sincere. Sincere worshipers. Worshipping God Almighty. Brother Mitchell with all they have. And sometimes them worship better than we. And sometimes they're more committed than we are. And sometimes they're more passionate than we are. But I am here to tell them that you can be sincerely wrong. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, Jesus says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does what?
The will of God.
Does the will
of my Father.
Does what is commanded. But he says, many will say.
In that day.
In that day.
Lord, Lord.
Lord. Haven't we
prophesied in thy name?
Prophesied in thy name. Hold on. Somebody here with a back problem. Something to write a yard. God tell me if you tell yourself. Tonight you're getting release. And then take up home in a rug. And then go so. And then probably get some water, Brother Mike, and put it in the mouth. And the whole place catch a fire. But they are sincere in what they are doing. They think that that is the will of God. But what does Jesus say?
Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?
Yes.
And in thy name have cast out devils.
They never trouble apart there. Go on.
And in thy name done many wonderful works.
Watch on a man. We have Salvation Army. Holy pa wonderful works. Red Cross. Holy pa wonderful work. Missionary Church. Holy pa wonderful work, man. But the question is it the will of God? That's the thing, you know. Is it the will of God? I don't for a second doubt that there are many persons in denominations who are doing wonderful works. But our concern is to help them to realize you can do better. And better, no better than to do what God says.
Amen.
But you know,
Amen.
Jesus wants us to understand that we can pray from now till morning come.
Uh-huh.
We can praise, we can get up the dance team, the sign team, all everything you want think of. But not because it sounds good. Not because it looks good.
Yes.
Not because it feels good.
Yes.
Means it is right.
Yes.
The question we have to ask is it the will of God?
Yes.
Watch in a man. The Bible describes the word of God as a seed. And when you plant a seed, I can use the word sow. When you sow a seed, you expect a plant. You can't sow pumpkin and I look for pomegranate.
That's right.
Not because it's a pea. You can't plant apple seed and want pumpkin. So in other words, I want us to understand how important it is to get it right.
Amen.
Because, you know, the other night we learned this thing from Brother Flowers.
Oh.
Sorry. Me gone ahead of time. Prophet, me telling me a prophet. Sorry. Brother Pounds, he gave us the Greek construct of ou ala. Not but. Now, I want for us to understand that when Jesus was talking and his disciples came to him and said, you know, Jesus, you see, when they tell the man the truth, you know what to them? They were offended.
Right.
I'm going to go back to our text, verse number 12 and 13 there. But it says, Jesus' disciples came to him and says, you know that the Pharisees were offended when you talk to them like that? I want for us to understand that sometimes when you tell people the truth, they're going to be offended.
Amen.
But may I beg you, if you're here and you're a member of a denomination, don't be offended by the truth. Because Jesus says you shall know the truth. Because sometimes the reason why you're doing what you're doing is because you don't know better. So it says, when you hear the truth, incline your ears. Listen to me. Jesus says, you know what? Them offended. All right, watch another man. Every plant that my Father did not plant, it will be uprooted. In other words, when you are speaking, you have to make sure you're sowing the right seed.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Because if you sow the right seed, you're going to get the right plant.
Amen.
Watch out. I want for us to understand that every seed has what it needs to become what it needs to be. You hear me? When you plant, all right, Michael Andretti. When you plant a piece, the piece has within it everything it needs to become a piece. When it comes to the church, the word of God has everything it needs
Amen.
To become what it needs to be.
Amen.
So all you have to do is plant the seed.
Amen.
Notice we never say a
seed.
Because when you plant a seed, it can't be any seed. But you need to plant the seed.
Amen.
What is the seed? If you go to the agriculture store, and they say, sir, sell me a bag of pumpkin seed. they give you a bag of pumpkin seed. So watch it, man. God has given us the seed of salvation. And anytime you plant this seed of salvation, nothing but the church can be the plant. I wonder if you hear me. So watch it, man. Here's why it's important for our friends to understand the idea of one church. If salvation is the seed that gives birth to the church, then it means you have to make sure you start right this off. Salvation and the church go hand in hand. You can't preach salvation without the church. You can't have salvation without the church. Because within the seed, it will become what it needs to become. Now watch this. You can't preach the wrong message of salvation and get the church. I'm about to say something now, and I'm going to say it with a lot of love. Lot of love. You can't be taught wrong. It's hard for digest, you know. All right, let me put it another way then. Put it another way. At the point of your salvation, when you thought you were being saved from your sins, and they tell you, you can go to any church of your choice, they were wrong. And that was not the right seed. In Acts chapter 2, and from verse number 36, all the way down to verse number 41. Peter preached and he said, see that same Jesus, the same one when he crucified. God has made him both Lord and Christ. And, they were cut to the heart. And they asked men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says, you know what? And not for you alone, but for all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And he says, you know what? And he went on and encouraged them with many other words. I submit to you tonight that those many other words, the church was mentioned. Because they can't have salvation without the church. Because salvation gives birth to the church. People still think the church are the building, you know. People still think, say, the church is a piece of wood, or some block, or some stone. But the church is the people. Every soul that is saved and understands that they're being added to the church of Christ, the church that he promised to build. That's the right seed. When you go to Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12, the disciples were facing persecution and they were scattered and they made their way to Samaria. And the Bible says they were preaching and teaching the word of God. But it says, as he preached Christ, there's something else there.
But when they believed Philip preaching,
when they believed the preaching of Philip,
the things concerning the kingdom
of God, the things concerning where?
The kingdom of God.
I want you to understand that when you preach salvation, Brother Mike, you can't leave out the kingdom of God. Amen. They go together. Mm-hmm. So watch it. Time for me, don't know? All right. Let me wind it down. With this, one seed, one plant. Amen. if you don't plant the one where God give you, when he come back, he might go root it up.
Amen. Amen.
I wonder if we hear.
Amen.
Now watch this. Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 1 and verse number 5. It says that we have to be obedient to the faith. That means there is one faith. There is one doctrine when it comes to salvation. Not many. So you can't hold up your hand and repeat after me. That not in a scripture. You can't take up some water and flash by my head. That not in a scripture. The word of God says you must be immersed. One of the greatest injustices in the Bible is the transliteration of the word baptism. Because it's not a translation. If they had translated the word, the Bible would have read, repent and be immersed in water. You have a good dome, fully covered, buried, so you can come up a new creature. But Paul says, you know what? What is this one faith? And then he jumps down to verse number 16 and says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because within that gospel, it has the power to save. And he says, in it is revealed the righteousness of God. Because the just must live by faith. So Paul says, you know what? When he spoke to the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians chapter 4, and from verse number 4, the only one where people have problem with is the first one. I wonder if you hear me. Everybody said there's one spirit. Everybody said there's one faith. Everybody said there's one Lord. Everybody understand that our one hope is to get to heaven. Everybody know there's one God. And it's all of us. But everybody have a problem when they say there is one body. Then if you have a problem with the first one, you have to have a problem with the whole of them. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, I will build my church. And on our bright people, many of you telling what my mean. It's personal. What personal pronoun? Yeah. Any teacher in the house? Yeah. All right. That means it belongs to him. Yeah. This is my shoes. Yeah. I have a lot of shoes, you know. But this is the black shoes. When we talk about the church, there's only one church. Yeah. And it belongs to one man. And his name is Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That means that the church is the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, as I get ready, Mike, you ready? All right. I need for us to understand that in order for Christ to add us to his church, these are some concepts that we have to grasp. Baptism is very serious. And we get cussing feet, you know. Everything about baptism. Well, what's in the man? It's in the book.
Amen.
We can't take it out. I hear one preacher say, water is a part of the plan. Watch this. The reason why I'm saying that, Peter says to us, I think it's First Peter chapter 3. Verse 21,
yes.
He says, you know what? Baptism is an answer of a good conscience towards God. In other words, Brother Mitchell, when you're getting baptized, you must know the why. You must know the what.
Yeah.
And you must know the where.
Yeah.
You must know why you're doing it.
Right.
It washes away your sins. You must know where you're going to be placed.
Yeah.
Huh? So, if you don't know, and you do it believing that any old church will do. There's a one that I left out on purpose. There is one baptism.
Amen.
Brother Mike, I was raised in the church of God. I was baptized in the church of God. I sang on the choir of the church of God. Yeah, mama, can I well a note. But when I learned better, I did better. Because my soul's salvation is too important. But what's enough? In the story of the parable of the sower, the disciples asked Jesus a question. He says, why do you speak in parables? And Jesus says, boy, you see, some people, no matter how much them hear, them no hear. And no matter how them see, them no see. But watch me, no man, I hope none of them are there tonight. Because I want for us to understand that it's full time we let go the traditions of men and embrace the commands of God.
Amen.
Don't be stubborn. Because you know, sometimes when we've been doing something all our life, it's hard to let it go. But do you value your soul? Again, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he who does the will of my Father. The message is yours. So now I have a question for you. Are you a member of the Church of Christ? If you don't like all that song, I'll put it another way. You're a member of a church that Christ built.
Amen.
Are you not like that? Put it another way. Are you a member of the church you can read about in the Bible?
Amen.
If not, it can happen tonight.
Amen.
If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that belief should prompt you to do something. We call it repentance. It's a turning around. It's a decision of the mind to stop living for ourselves. What Jesus says to them, he says, they are blind leaders of the blind. But Paul once says his job is to turn them from darkness to light, to open their eyes that they might see. But you see, I take the approach of Jesus all the time, you know, Brother Mike. I will tell you what I told a young lady I was studying with the other day. I says, I preach the word. You and the Holy Spirit work it out. I'm going to sit like Jesus and go take me seat, Brother Mike. If you don't want to hear it, let them alone. You hear what me say? Stop bex with people when they know how to accept the truth. And stop cuss them too. You do your job already. You don't want to hear it? Jesus says, let them alone. Watch out, man. Thus are for thus. Go on about your business. Move on to the next one. You can't done now? All right, brother, I think of your time now. If you believe, then you must repent. And repentance causes you to confess. Not your sins. You and I can't remember all the sins we commit, let alone confess them all. But the confession is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, our chief and commander. our leader. If you not go through him, you can't get to God. And when you do that, you are ready to be baptized. We not no waiting bench. We not no special date. All we need is your conviction. And you are ready to be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you rise, you continue in the doctrine of Christ and the practice of the apostles. God bless you all. If there's anyone, as we sing the song of encouragement, 560, will you come to Jesus as we sing?
Shall we stand? I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things.
And we ask that, you know, we are also going to raise a song, all right, and we will stand at that time.